publicly available information about your nursing home. Stick around. Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we're going to be talking about all of the different types of information, types of data, types of documents that are available online that are publicly facing that concern nursing homes. So everything from how much the nursing home is paying for nurses to how many nurses are on staff to who owns the nursing home. All this information is publicly available and accessible to you in your investigations if you're wanting to put your loved one into a skilled nursing facility. But we're not doing that alone. We have a fantastic attorney, a trial attorney out of Illinois named Matthew Heimlich. He's going to come on and he's going to walk us through a lot of this information. And it's stick around because it's going to be a great episode. But first is our nursing home regulation question of the week. This week, I'm going to say that the difficulty level is going to be medium hard. So it's kind of spicy. If you get this right, give yourself 77 points. Under 42 USC 483.35G3, a nursing home must provide upon request, A, the names of the RNs, LPNs, and CNAs working that day, B, total number and actual hours worked by RNs, LPNs, and CNAs that day, or C, the licenses of the RNs, LPNs, and CNAs working that day. And the answer is B. The nursing home is required to have on hand data that shows the number of hours worked by the RNs, LPNs, and CNAs for that specific day. And now we've reached everybody's favorite part of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, and that is the Nursing Home Regulation Joke of the Week that is ChatGPT generated. So just a gentle reminder, everybody, this is AI's attempt to blend humor and United States code, so set your phasers to mildly disappointed. Gene, let's cue it up.
The ChatGPT-generated nursing home regulation joke of the week.
Skynet.
Apparently, nursing homes now treat residents like library books under Regulation 42, USC 483.15(c)(1). A, they can't be checked out unless they're not being read properly. Sorry, we can't turn your pages right. Time to find a new reader. Because, you know, caring is just so passe.
And there you are, folks. Further proof that the singularity is a few light years away. All right, now it's time to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about all the types of information about nursing homes that is publicly available. We're not doing that alone. We have trial attorney Matthew Heimlich joining us today. Matthew Heimlich, an attorney at Malman Law in Chicago, specializes in representing plaintiffs in nursing home negligence, personal injury, and wrongful death cases across Illinois. With extensive experience in long-term care litigation, he strategically advocates for his clients. He frequently contributes to local bar associations and co-hosts the On Trial podcast discussing pertinent topics in nursing home litigation. And we are so happy to have him on the show. Matt, welcome to the show.
Oh, Rob, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So I think that, as an industry, there's a lot of things that we don't know about the operations of nursing homes. Everything from who owns them exactly to, you know, the most recent survey. But that's not to say that there's not some pertinent information that is easily available for us online with a simple search. And so that's why I wanted to have you on today, is to kind of talk about some of the things that we can learn about nursing homes without having to be a private investigator or have access to weird databases or go on the dark web or whatever it is. So we'll start with that. What is some key information that we would want to know about nursing homes, whether we're a family of a loved one in a nursing home or an attorney that pursues nursing home cases? What is some of that information out there that we can get our hands on?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And thankfully, there are a bunch of different resources available for families, for residents, for anyone who cares about someone in a nursing home. And particularly if you're concerned about the operation of the nursing home, what kind of facility it is, or more specifically, you know, if an injury occurred in a facility, you know, what happened? What were the circumstances of it? So one of the first things that we do when someone calls about a potential injury at a nursing home is we say, did you call the Illinois Department of Public Health? Because I practice in Illinois and the Department of Public Health is the entity that regulates all the nursing homes in the state. And when you make a complaint to the Department of Public Health, they're going to send somebody out. They're going to do an investigation. They're going to look through medical records. They're going to interview staff. And if they find enough information to justify the complaint, they're going to issue a citation and they're going to do a write-up about why the facility was not able to meet the minimum standards in the care and treatment of the patient. And one of the first things that we do after we learn that that has been done, or if the incident is significant enough where they're required to report it, is we're going to send a Freedom of Information request to the Illinois Department of Public Health. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't turn up anything, but other times it will give you a literal breakdown of what the failures in care were and sometimes what the staff said in response to being questioned about the care and treatment provided to a given resident. And in that case, you can have, you know, basically an outline of your case ready to go before the defendant even knows that there is a case. So that is an incredibly powerful tool. And we recommend anybody who has a question or especially, you know, observe something to have occurred or is concerned about what's going on with a loved one to contact public health and let them do their job. Because ultimately, you know, as attorneys, we can take that information and, you know, have it at the ready before, you know, while we're evaluating the case and before the defendant even knows that there is a case.
And that's not, and just for the listeners out there, that's not just isolated to Illinois. Typically, most states are going to have some type of state entity or an agency or department that oversees the nursing homes. And so in Georgia, it's the Department of Community Health. And as Matt mentions, you know, if the injury is typically is severe enough or is is an assault related or some type of sexual assault related, there's going to be typically some type of investigation done. And then when there is an investigation, there's paperwork. But I guess can you speak a little bit about to the idea of how difficult would it be for a family to get a hold of that? Or actually, let me back that up. What would be the process for a family of a loved one where something did happen? How do they go through the process of, do they file a complaint online? Do they call somebody? How does that work?
You can do both. You can go on to you just Google, at least in Illinois, the Illinois Department of Public Health. They have a website. They have a complaint hotline. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, you can make your complaint that way. There's an online form you can fill out. And importantly for your residents for loved ones who are in there, the complaints are anonymous. They're not going to know who made the complaint on behalf of the resident. You know, obviously when the surveyors go in, they're going to be looking through certain residents' files. You know, they're going to be looking kind of based on the allegations made in the complaint, but it's something that anybody can do online or on the phone. And, you know, as far as once the public health department has your information, they are required to relay those results to you. So they'll send you a confirmation letter. Yes, we received your complaint. We'll do an investigation. We'll let you know what the investigation is. And then when the results come out, they'll send that to that person as well. So, you know, they are going to keep the person informed of how the investigation is going. And if for some reason that doesn't happen, you can submit a Freedom of Information request online. A family member can do that. Particularly like we were just talking about, if it's something that's required to be reported by the state and the family didn't think to initiate it, they can still initiate a Freedom of Information Act request and get that information that way. So these are all things that can be done by families outside of the court system on behalf of loved ones.
That sounds fantastic. Okay. So we have investigations by the overseeing entity. What else could we get our hands on?
Sure. From a consumer perspective, there's a lot of good information out there. Medicare's website, Care Compare, has a lot of good publicly available information about nursing homes. You know, it kind of starts on a high level, and then you can dig a bit deeper depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go with the information. You know, the most, the kind of the all-encompassing evaluation for a nursing home is the Medicare star rating system, you know, 5 to 1, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. Each facility has an overall rating. And, you know, you can kind of guess, you know, at least from a broad sense of what kind of care is generally being provided at a facility based on their Medicare star rating. And I kind of want to come back to it because we, like I said, you can go deeper down the information rabbit hole with them, but that is kind of the big overall rating. That's kind of a nice, easy thing to summarize what's going on at a particular facility. On a state level, there are cost reports that nursing homes have to file with the state. And that has a really interesting assortment of information about how a facility is being run, what people are involved, what entities are involved. And from a business sense, you know, where is the money that's going into the facility actually going? Like for example, you can pull these up online. They're just available. They can be downloaded. They're, you know, usually about a year or two behind. I don't think we have the 2023s up yet. That should be coming up in the next couple months. I'm looking at one right now where the total revenue generated by this facility during the year 2021 was $21.9 million. You know, that's a lot of money. But their net income for the year was a loss of $280,000. So how does that happen? You know, how do we go from almost $22 million to more than $250,000 in the hole? So you have to look through the information that's in the cost report, and you know, did they allocate costs to the management company, which is, you know, the group that owns, you know, it's a lot of related nursing homes are owned by a common management company. It's kind of like a brand that owns different franchises. And you know, did they allocate costs to the management company? And this year, yes, they did. Almost a quarter of a million or $750,000. Are there some very unusual expenditures for things that don't fully make sense? Yeah, in this case, they paid their dietary consultant over $1 million for 1 year. That seems kind of odd. You know, that's something to maybe look into. Did they pay dividends to their owners? In this case, yes, they paid $2.75 million dividends to their owners that year. So once you take a look at this, you can kind of see how, you know, almost $22 million in revenue becomes, you know, to a loss of $280,000 when you look at the numbers and see where all the money's going out of the facility too. So that's kind of an interesting peek behind the curtain to see how these facilities are actually being operated.
And that's the Medicare and Medicaid cost reports. And for our business friendly listeners, to the extent that we have any out there, it's obviously it's not a problem if a company has common ownership. What Matt is talking about is it's not just that they're paying the $1 million to the management company. It's that the cost report is going to show that the management company is telling the federal government that it only costs us 100 grand to perform the management services, but yet we were paid $1 million. And oh yeah, we're owned by the same group of owners that the facility as the facility licensee is. So it's not just nobody's saying that you can't own more than one company. What we're saying is that when your one company is overpaid by $900,000, that's the problem. And then ultimately your facility's showing a loss, something fishy going on. So I would say that, and it's a question, is the cost report is probably more towards an attorney's going to look at this. I mean, lay people, if you could probably spend some time and learn, but that's not going to be something that you could intuitively pick up a cost report and know where the money's being skimmed. Whereas the Nursing Home Compare website, which you mentioned with the star rating, I think that is something that you could immediately go to and learn a lot about a nursing home.
Yeah, you can. You really can. There's a lot of good information on there. And then the comparative part of it is you can kind of start with the Medicare star rating and work your way down, you know, because you can sort the nursing homes and search for them geographically. you know, because the vast majority of people are, they're going to want to have their loved one in a nursing home close by. So you're only going to be looking at a certain geographic area. So your options are, you know, can be fairly limited to, you know, what's around. So, you know, you can take a look and see, okay, there's a 5-star nursing home, but it's, you know, it's 30 minutes away. You know, is that something we want to do? There's a 3-star nursing home right down the street. You know, is that, what do you think? You know, and you kind of can weigh the pros and cons of what to do. And then it, what you can do, if you search further into the Care Compare website, one of the things I always look for, and, you know, one of the things that's the most important to make sure loved ones get good care, is, well, first of all, can you go to the facility? How often can you actually physically be in the building? You know, that's to me the biggest driver of making sure that, you know, people are getting taken care of, is like, is that everyone knows that their family's there a lot. They're there regularly. They're asking questions. They're sticking up, you know, for their loved one, you know, and that's a big thing. The other thing is, are they staffed enough to meet the needs of the people that they're supposed to be taking care of? And they have specific data and information on the website about just staffing. You know, what kind of staff are in the building? Does the staff, you know, meet the needs of the residents? And you can drill, again, if this is more for the lawyers, but you can drill farther down on that based on some of the information that's submitted to Medicare, where they kind of do an analysis of, you know, does this facility have the right and amount and kind of staff to meet the needs of the patients? So there really is. And again, all this is available publicly. You don't need to rely on the facility. You can just, you know, you can get on Medicare's website and, you know, get all this information.
And just as a warning to the people out there that are doing what Matt is saying, which is trying to find a high star rated facility close to you or anywhere, just remember that the low stars, we know that's bad. But just because a nursing home has 3, 4, 5 stars doesn't mean it's good. You still need to go, because as Matt can probably attest to, there are ways in which the nursing home can game the system. So just because it is a high rating doesn't mean it's good, and a low rating means it probably almost certainly is bad. So always kick the tires first. So we have specific complaint investigations by the state. We've got the information that's on the Nursing Home Compare in terms of the star rating. We've got cost reports. Kind of, what's another go-to source of information that you look for?
Yeah, I mean, me as an attorney, when I'm looking at a potential defendant in the case, there's a bunch of reports and the information that you can run. Again, just that's collected by the federal government, and honestly, it's organized well enough to be understandable once you get an understanding of what you're looking for. In most nursing home cases, like I was kind of talking about earlier, staffing is always kind of an underlying issue. And, you know, there's this report called the PBJ staffing data, which is collected by Medicare, and it's submitted to them by the nursing home. And they have to give them through these reports called MDS reports, what the census was, how many residents were in the building on a given day. And then they have to report how many registered nurse hours were, how many registered nurses hours were service were performed in the building, how many licensed practical nurse hours were performed in the building, how many hours were CNAs providing care in the building. And that is reported to them on a daily basis. And you can download that information for a facility for a given week, day, month, year. And it's all there in black and white, and it's kind of inherently reliable to an extent, because it's being reported by the facility. I mean, it would be hard to imagine saying, oh, we weren't telling Medicare the truth. You know, that's a big federal problem for them, and they're not going to go there. So you have kind of inherently reliable information about what their staffing levels were and how many residents were in the building on a given day. So all of that is just ready to be downloaded.
PBJ sounds like a delicious sandwich, but it is in fact payroll-based journal information is what Matt's talking about, where the facility literally has to submit an Excel spreadsheet basically to the federal government saying, these are the amount of hours of LPNs, these are the amount of hours of RNs, the amount of hours of CNAs, even to the point where you're bifurcating nurses by whether or not they're performing administrative duties versus direct care duties. And you can literally, and I'm actually going to have a podcast about this. I'm going to walk through this document because it's a publicly available document. You download the spreadsheet and you can literally see day to day whether or not the facility that you're concerned about is meeting at least the minimum hourly requirements of nurses. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, I do this in every one of my cases where if it's, for example, if it's a fall case, I can go immediately to the day of the fall and be like, oh, they at least in Georgia, you have to have at least 2 hours. Well, until the recent change, but you had to have at least 2 hours of nursing care. And, you know, they're at 1.25. So you already know that, you know, that's an argument that you can make. But this is all data. Like cost report, okay, if you're a layperson, that's going to be tough. Downloading this spreadsheet and looking to see how many nurses are on in a particular day, that's something that I think that you could do in an afternoon. And it's really good information. Okay.
Yeah, it's also important to note the changes. Those still surprise me. You know, they'll have all kinds of staff on one day, you know, usually on a weekday, and all of a sudden you get the weekends and staff drops off a cliff. And, yeah. You know, it's unsurprising to anyone who's been doing this for any length of time that, you know, the vast majority of accidents happen on nights and weekends because the facility isn't staffed like it is during the day.
Exactly.
And that bears itself out in the numbers that you can see in the staffing data that, you know, we can all download for Medicare now.
Exactly. And I run it through an Excel spreadsheet that shows a graph, and you can see like the peaks and valleys of like, you don't even have to see the dates, the days of the week. You just know when it's a weekend. Cause as you said, there's nobody there. What else can we learn by doing a Google search? What else do we got?
Well, I mean, Medicare's got more for us. It really is. They've become a treasure trove of information about these facilities and even about the management companies. The facilities, there's this another data set called case mix data, and it is an absolutely enormous Excel spreadsheet that I do my best to try to pare down to just the more relevant columns. But it really gives you just an unbelievable amount of information about a facility. It has staffing data as well. And it has this case mix staffing data, which is basically comparing the amount of staff that's needed to the amount of staff that was actually done. So the case mix is how acute are these residents? Are they a bunch of long-term residents who are basically there for long-term care? They're not, you know, rehab patients that require, you know, a higher level of care, you know, higher level of need, you know, for basic tasks. Or, you know, is this a heavily rehab population? Is this a highly acute population that needs more hours per person? And you can get a sense of that. And it kind of compares, like, you know, here's what should be provided based on the need. And then you can compare it to here's what was provided. And that can be a really interesting analysis to do on a case. There's also, they give you facility reported, injury incidents. How many substantiated complaints was the facility fined during this period and for how much? And it really gives you all of this information. Again, one document publicly available. Available for anyone to download who's looking hard enough, really.
What is that document called? Does it have a name?
It's the case mix data. So if you Google Medicare case mix data, it'll take you to a web page, and you can, you know, find what facility you're looking for. You can find, I believe it's on quarterly, you can find what quarter you're looking for, and then you can just download that information for that facility. It's a tremendous amount of information all in one place.
This is like the nursing home abuse drinking game, but you mentioned that the resident population might need more or less care based on their acuity. So a lot of times the nursing home will say, well, we've met the minimum staffing requirements. But that doesn't mean that they're providing the care they need, because the acuity of the resident population as a whole may mean they need a lot more than the minimum staffing. So it's really an important distinction that we should make, that Staffing minimums don't mean that care is being met, because the acuity could be such that they don't have enough. Okay, so we're CMS, nursing home compare, we got all that info. Anything else we got?
The last one, and this is a relatively new addition to what's available on Medicare, is affiliated entity performance. So this is more for management companies that own and operate, you know, a number of facilities. And, you know, what it will show is it'll have they have their own kind of data set, and it has some really interesting information, you know, so you can take a look to see if this is something that this particular management company is known for, you know, operating substandard nursing homes, or are they known for, you know, operating facilities that, you know, how many special focus facilities are they operating? That's when there's been, you know, a number of substantiated abuse and neglect complaints. Are any of their facilities on the special focus? You know, how many? And then it says how many abuse icons is another column of data. So again, I'm looking at a company right now, right in front of me. Their affiliated entity data says they operate 59 facilities, and 13 of them have abuse icons. Wow. So that's kind of a substantial amount. And this is, you know, a major operator in Illinois. What is their average Medicare star rating for their facilities on aggregate, overall 59? How many average nurse hours are they providing to their residents? Again, on aggregate, overall, all their facilities. What's the average staff turnover for all these facilities? You know, how many fines did they have? How much were they fined, and how many? What percentage of patients have a fall with injury, and what percentage of patients, you know, develop a pressure ulcer during their residency? So all of that information is, again, it's all on Medicare, ready to be viewed. And I would say, from a consumer perspective, I would almost start there and work your way down to the facility, because if you figure out what entity owns and operates your facility, you know, they think of things globally, you know, so you want to think of it too. If you find an operator that, you know, you can find out a lot about what's going on at a facility by finding out, you know, what kind of operator they are, how many homes they have, you know. Because if it hasn't happened yet, if it's maybe they just bought a facility from a different operator, mm-hmm. so nothing's really happened yet. But if they've been around for a while, you can kind of figure out what their track record is, and, you know, make your own, draw your own conclusions based on that.
And that most recent document that you're talking about, is, does that have a name?
It's the affiliated entity performance report. So if you go on Care Compare and you click on a facility, if you scroll all the way down, it'll let you know, is this part of basically a nursing home chain?
Gotcha.
And it'll have the name of the nursing home chain, and you can click on that link and it'll take you to a different page where you can run this kind of a report, and it'll give you, you know, all this information that in my mind is pretty useful for us as lawyers, and can also be useful for consumers to figure out, you know, is this the kind of place, you know, is this the kind of company that I want, you know, running the place where I'm keeping my loved one?
And I feel like the Care Compare, the Nursing Home Compare website, I feel like it went through an overhaul maybe a couple years ago. I can't remember, but it's getting easier and easier. I think the user interface is getting easier. So this is not necessarily something that should scare you away, but just go to the site and take a look around, and you'll see everything that Matt's talking about. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. We really, really appreciate it. A lot of stuff. Like, this is like one of the benefits of this podcast. I learn something new every single week, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, some of this stuff you see online can be confusing. You know, reach out to an attorney. You know, we look at this stuff all the time. You know, we're happy to answer questions, especially if you're concerned about someone or something that happened at a facility. You know, don't hesitate to reach out, because, you know, like I said, it has gotten a lot easier. But, you know, the information, the data itself, it can be a little bit technical. You know, reach out to someone, have them talk it through with them. But yeah, there's a lot of good information out there if you're looking for it.
Great advice. Well, folks, I hope you found this episode educational and entertaining. If you have a suggestion for any topic you would like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have an idea for a guest that you would like for me to talk to, let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every Monday, wherever you get your podcast from, as well as YouTube and on the website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.